8-wicket win for England, almost a copy of the first and the second T20. And we'll talk more about that as we welcome you to the latest Hotspot Daily with me, Chetan Narula, and Daniel Norcross in London. England winning the third T20 and taking a 2-1 lead in the series. Daniel, first thoughts from you. Like I said, it's almost seemed a copy of the first two T20s. Win the toss, bowl first. Side batting first, has a bit of trouble. Side batting second, finds it easy. First up, is the toss starting to play havoc on the series?
Yeah, it's feeling that way, isn't it? I think it's a bit more nuanced than that. I think the difference is today, whether the pitch was noticeably a little different. I mean, it took a lot more turn for the spin bowlers. And I think England actually needed to have a second spinner in their side today. They ended up fiddling their last four overs from Stokes and Sam Curran, when actually they might have been better used from Moeen Ali. But I think actually the really big difference for England today was a bit like how I mentioned in the last one, that Jos Buttler's dismissal first ball was so crucial, because he's one of the very few players, I think, who can time the ball on a difficult surface from the very beginning. And we saw that at the very beginning. I think if they'd got Buttler early, it would have been a much more difficult chase for England, because there was a little bit more in it. I think it was still a little bit more tricky to bat on. But you're right. I mean, if you win the toss, you're going to be bowling at Ahmedabad. There's no doubt about it. And I don't know what they can really do to change that. You know, Dew comes down. That's the way it is. So, you know, short of bringing the games back in time, and people don't want that. They want their T20 matches to take place at night. So it's a bit of a hazard. Part of the other reason, I think, is also that there are two really good teams. So what happens when a really good team gets an advantage is that it makes the best of that advantage, doesn't it? Maybe if one side was a little bit more poorer than the other, then that would equalize things and it would make for close games where the side winning the toss actually struggles to chase down what's been put before them. And the other difference for England was that Mark Wood was back. And that pace, that kind of way that England are now playing with Archer and Wood with express pace, and actually Jordan bowling at times quicker than we tend to see him, that's obviously part of a plan and it's worked really, really well. But, you know, today was a day really about two batters, wasn't it? Virat Kohli, Jos Buttler, they both, in their very different ways and very different styles, put on masterclasses.
Absolutely. And we'll come to that in just a bit. You're talking about the batting and you talk about the different variables and how they impacted this particular game. And you have to start with the fact that India, again, it was a repeat of the first T20 when they lost 3 wickets in the first power play. Well, Rohit Sharma was back after having put his feet up for the last two T20s, but didn't make much of a difference. However, it did change the Indian batting lineup a bit. Virat Kohli going down to number 4, Ishan Kishan at number 3. Didn't really work. Rahul, he's been in such horrendous form. And you can't really complain because he's been sitting out of the game for the last 2 months. He last played in December, hasn't played any active cricket since then. So you can't really blame him. He couldn't be released for the domestic white ball cricket because of the bio bubbles. Because if you release him, he's gone. He's not coming back. So it's a bit of a quandary. And to be honest, I can see Rahul missing the next two T20s. To be honest, he'll be rested. He'll be told, you know what, let's not mess with your brain too much. Just go to the IPL and regain your form, because he will regain his form. But it's Daniel, it's starting to be a big confusion in India's batting once again. Virat Kohli, stupendous. We'll come to him in just a bit. But again, you look at that batting lineup, India are playing around with their top order. India are playing around with their middle order. Surya Kumar Yadav didn't face a ball and he's, I won't say dropped, he was left out, but such is the equation, such is the experimentation, but you do want to give him a game. However, you look at Rishabh Pant's role, I don't like him at number 4 or 5. I want Shreyas Iyer to bat ahead of Rishabh Pant. Let's just be very honest about it. Because Shreyas Iyer is, again, your cumulative batsman. Somebody like a Virat Kohli can score by accumulating, but he also has those power shots once he gets set or he finds that brilliant timing. Shreyas Iyer can't really do that. Shreyas Iyer needs time and he needs to play himself in. Much like the Virat Kohli mold, just say 10 steps behind him. Rishabh Pant, yes, he can power play and, you know, he can do hitting and everything. I think India do not have set plans, whether it's batting or bowling, and we'll come to that, but it's the batting. I'm really, really concerned about it because I've seen it before. I've seen it in the build-up to the 2019 World Cup, and it is really worrying me. And there was a school of thought that, okay, Virat Kohli could rest for the next two T20s. Let me tell you, if Virat Kohli rests for the next two T20s, India will end up losing the series 4-1 because England are that good. Right now, I'm very, very worried about India's batting and the confusion they are creating for themselves.
Yeah, I can see that. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, what I would say against that is that, you know, England have basically bowled out the openers. And when they bowl out the openers, and in a T20, if you lose your openers cheaply, you are under the pump a little bit because your plans are slightly messed with. You know, England's plans are around that top order of Roy and Butler coming in the way they do. Milan playing that anchor role, Bairstow at four. It's a very, very settled method that they've got. So they're quite fortunate. They can sort of catch up. For India, problem is if you lose your opener, you know, if Rahul's in such dreadful form as he is at the moment, that's three times running now. One of the openers has gone just like that. Rohit Sharma today is a good bit of bowling from Wood to follow him. I mean, we've got to also give some credit to bowlers when they take wickets. You know, he didn't have a lot of time. He had to change that ball basically as he was bowling it. He followed Rohit Sharma and moved away to the leg. It was a great bit of bowling there. And England have got that pace and firepower to take wickets in the power play, which is not what they've had recently. And it can make such a huge difference, especially when you're batting first. Because when you bat first, it has a depressing effect on those overs between. It's not just the power play, it's between the power play and sort of over number 14, because a side suddenly has to be more cautious, which, you know, Virat Kohli was, for example, today. We saw what he was capable of doing in the last four overs, but he wasn't able to unleash that earlier. Yeah, it is an issue. India have got to decide what their top seven is going to be, and they need to stick to it. I think there were pluses, though, for India today. I thought Hardik Pandya bowled with real pace and real venom at times. And, you know, nobody really wants to go in with just five bowlers because of the pressure it puts on the bowlers and on the captain, and if anything, frankly, happens to any of your bowlers during the game. But if you're going to have five bowlers, then I guess people thought the weak link might be Hardik Pandya because he's barely bowled four overs in his previous 20 games before this series. And actually, he's looking in decent nick. There were a couple of really speedy bounces there. And another positive, I think, for India, you've got to say Washington Sundar has, I think, with the ball playing that sort of really annoying, flat, hard into the pitch spin, you know, it's not something you particularly want to see with a red ball, but with a white ball, it's hugely effective. And I think that helps to balance their side a little bit, India's side. And let's also not forget, because there's this big looming presence in the background, Jasprit Bumrah. I mean, if he's in that side, which he will be, suddenly there's a bit more teeth coming in to try to pick up those wickets in the power play, just as England have got. I think, you know, you're looking at a different kind of India. So it's always difficult in the aftermath of what is a very heavy defeat. And today's defeat was heavy. In fact, all three games have resulted in heavy defeats for the respective sides. But I think there are still, you know, there are kernels of positivity for India in there. I'd be interested to see what they do. I'm with you. I think Rahul's got to go for the last two games. Ishan Kishan's got to go back up. Surya Kumar Yadav comes in. And then I think finally we'll have arrived at the perfect Indian top six. But it'll have taken four games to get there, Chet.
Not surprising that. And since you talked so much positivity about India, let me tell you where they are really lacking at the moment. Yes, Jasprit Bumrah will be back. And that's pretty much half the Indian bowling in T20 cricket, Jasprit Bumrah. Let me tell you where India are missing. One of the worrying points for India is Yuzvendra Chahal. And you spoke about Washington Sundar with his flat bowling and he's hitting the pitch hard and he's doing all right. He's bowling with the new ball. He's giving an element. Yuzvendra Chahal, he's looking a bit out of color. 41 runs off four overs today. That guile that we have seen from him is missing. One of the reasons for that could be that the two matches that he's looked really off color have been under lights when there's been dew. Maybe he's not gripping the ball really well. That's an important pointer for a leg spinner, more than an off spinner, perhaps. But overall, if we saw his performances in Australia as well, there was no dew there. There was no dew factor there. So it's a little worrying what Yuzvendra Chahal is up to. Even in the IPL, he didn't have greatest of IPL. I mean, as a singular bowler, as an individual bowler, last year he didn't have the greatest of IPL tournaments. As a wholesome spin unit for RCB, he was still in good form when you had Adam Zampa or Moeen Ali bowling around him. Then they did really well when they had more bowling options. So there you go. India missing a third spin option, which they had earlier on, but they're not trying it right now. Now, let me talk about the other factor, which is really worrying, and I tweeted about it as well. Virat Kohli himself has dropped 8 catches in T20 cricket since 2019. That's the most for any cricketer from test-playing nations, right? Wow. And it's a general malaise that has crept into India's fielding and general catching. Australia, I think they dropped a catch every 5 overs. And we have seen the same lackadaisical fielding effort in this series so far as well. I mean, I can't remember if any of these 3 T20s have been standout fielding of efforts from India. No. They've been
sleeping. Actually, on that very subject, I mean, I think we calculated it was something like 16 runs lost in the field in the second game, which they were able to claw back.
Exactly.
And we saw today at boundary fielding. It's not. This isn't just the catches, is it? There's
exactly. So it's the catches. It's the catches and the general outfielding. So the standards have really dropped. And I put out a tweet there and I said, you know what? Let's be honest. Forget batting and forget bowling. On the basis of this fielding and catching from the last 2 series, India not winning the T20 World Cup. Now, what is the improvement? And you suddenly get a lot of replies targeting the fielding coach, R. Sridhar and everything. And I read an interview of his after the Australia tour. He said, you know what? I give them 500 catches in practice every day and they catch most of them. So what more can I do? I can't go onto the field and catch for them. And I think a bigger issue is not about the coaches. People say, you know what? Get Jonty Rhodes in and things will improve. No, it doesn't work like that. Maybe the problem is not Sridhar. Maybe the problem isn't going to sort itself with getting Jonty Rhodes in. Maybe the problems are these cricketers themselves. Are you telling me R. Sridhar can go and shout at Virat Kohli for dropping those 8 catches? Can he go to Rohit Sharma and shout at him for being lackadaisical? These Indian cricketers can sometimes be so overwhelming. You can't really go and shout at them. I mean, remember...
Well, it doesn't ever really help, does it, either?
No, it doesn't help. You know. But there was this book that I read, John Wright's Indian Summers, where, you know, that casual approach from Virendra Sehwag, and he was shouting at him, you know, shouting his lungs out, how can you be so lackadaisical and how can you be so callous? I don't see the present coaching setup doing that. They can't. They just can't. I think that is maybe the problem. So I don't know what India are going to do about their fielding and catching. It certainly isn't world-class level. Now, coming to England quickly, Daniel, before we move on to Virat Kohli and sing his praises and a bit of Jos Buttler in there, maybe you can talk about Jos Buttler now. But overall, when I compare this Indian and English side, this English side, so well-rounded, they have plans, they're executing them. Yes, they came a bit undone in the second T20. But right now, I mean, West Indies are the only side I can think of who can challenge them. There, I've said it.
Wow.
England and West Indies. Yeah. I mean, West Indies, because West Indies are West Indies. I mean, they are mercurial T20 players. Yeah, yeah. They can do literally anything in a T20 game. So, and the way I'm seeing, and this is not close to England's final T20 World Cup squad. I mean, there's still 1, 2, or maybe 3 places up for grabs. But, oh my God, this is looking like a world-beating side at the moment.
Well, they do look like that. They look really well run. They look like they know exactly what their game plans are. I was going to say fearless. Fearless isn't really the word I mean. It's they have a clarity of thought. So today, for example, when chasing around about 8 and over 157 to win, Buttler simply knew that he was going to take down Chahal in the power play, and he charged at him and he hit fiercely and straight. When he chose to use a reverse sweep, he nailed it every time. They maximized the power play, England, which was a really important thing to do, because once they'd got the rate down to about 7, 7.5, then they knew they could just work it around. It was a clinical performance. But I think the other part of what's changed for England is the emergence of Mark Wood as a T20 bowler alongside Jofra Archer, having that double pace option. They also have 6 bowlers, which gives Morgan great flexibility. It means that he can change his plans as the wicket progresses. So, you know, we were on a red soil pitch today. It meant that it was Stokes and Curran bowling late. He didn't start Curran in the power play in the previous game. Curran had bowled a wicket maiden in the power play. This time it was back to Adil Rashid. There's a flexibility there and he tends to take the right options. I would say there is one gaping hole though for England, and it is the second spinner. If Moeen Ali doesn't get some games, then are England really going to go through a World T20 in India with one spinner? That seems an unlikely extreme. Way to That's, win.
That seems well, extreme.
it really does. So, I mean, I don't know. I think that is an area that they'll need to think about changing, but it's so easy for them to make that change because the change is essentially Moeen Ali comes in for Sam Curran for the number seven. In much the same way that Wood came in for Tom Curran, but that would be your change. And England would still then have four pace bowlers and two spinners, which would give them what looks like the perfectly rounded attack. So, look, England are in a really, really good space now. What we've got to see from one of these sides is a side winning batting first. That'll really tell us what they've learned now. And I don't really care which team it is, but that's what I think we need to see, certainly from a crowd point of view, because the danger of things becoming a little bit, you know, win toss, win match sort of takes a lot of the fun out of it, doesn't it? We'd like to see a more even contest as well, one that goes down to the wire. But, you know, let's talk a bit about Virat Kohli today, because I mean, I was thinking, is this another one of those Kohli innings where he's basically not gone hard enough, fast enough, and India are going to limp their way to 130. Well, you know, I should never have doubted him, because in those last four or five overs, he was absolutely extraordinary. I mean, the bowling wasn't bad at that stage by any means. It was challenging. It was difficult. He barely missed a ball and he timed them all so fantastically. There was one occasion in which he was done by Archer, I think, wasn't it? As he moved across his stumps or Wood, I forget which one. He looked to flick it away, he missed it, and he was furious with himself.
That was the penultimate ball of the innings. That was the penultimate ball of the innings.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me tell you, it has been an exciting facet of Virat Kohli's game of late. This is something that he was doing before the COVID pandemic hit. When India had gone to New Zealand, they were experimenting. They played five T20s over there, and they had started experimenting for the T20 World Cup. That was last year, 2020, February 2020, and I covered that series, and I remember that he was making an effort to bat lower down the order, and that series India did not have Rohit Sharma, India also did not have Shikhar Dhawan for almost half the white ball series, if I remember correctly, because he got injured on the tour. So they had a lot of chopping and changing. They had KL Rahul, they had Mayank Agarwal, they had Prithvi Shaw. So they were doing a lot of experimentation, for the lack of a better word, and Virat would try to come lower down the order. Then before that, the home season against Sri Lanka, West Indies and Australia, again, he was, I don't think there were any T20s against Australia, but against Sri Lanka, Bangladesh and the West Indies, I think he was again coming down, lower the order and trying to bat at number four more than number three. The other facet to his batting was when he got set, he was bridging the gap. He was bridging the gap between his strike rate from, say, when he was 30, 35 runs or 40 odd runs, and then he would suddenly take off, especially batting at number four, especially coming lower down the order than his usual position of number three. So this is something that we have seen Virat Kohli do. It's forgotten because of the entire length of the COVID pandemic, and also because he doesn't do this for Royal Challengers Bangalore, because you have AB de Villiers in the middle for them and doing the slam bang, and he sets the momentum up top. So this is something really he's trying different. And when he says that we want to be more aggressive and we want to show more intent on the field, this is something that he puts in his batting. And like you mentioned, he was not missing anything. His anticipation on some of those shots was absolutely gorgeous. 110 out of 100 for anticipation, that flick to square leg and then straight down the ground and then straight to covers, all in one over. And it was brilliant to watch. He was using his feet, he was dancing around the stumps. It was brilliant to watch. It was a sort of masterclass. And it is, I think, carrying on from the second T20 where he regained his form, regained his touch. So it won't be surprising to see him bat at number four for the remainder of the series. Maybe give Surya Kumar Yadav number three, which is where he bats for Mumbai Indians. especially with Ishan Kishan moving up and KL Rahul maybe, you know, resting for the next two matches. So it really becomes an interesting point for India, how they revolve around Virat Kohli. There's no doubt. Just let me finish. There's no doubt that Virat Kohli is central to their batting plans. It remains to be seen where he'll bat. Yeah, go on.
I've had a thought, and I have no idea if this is insanity or not, Chetan.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if Virat Kohli opens the batting when India bat first and bats down further down the order when they chase, because his mastery of the game is such that I feel that he understands the game situation. If India get 39-40 in a power play, but they're 44-1 and Kohli is still there, they can score big. At the moment, he's finding himself with India 20-odd for three. Now, we all know the stat, 80% of times you lose if you lose three wickets in the power play. There's nothing Virat Kohli can do to stop India losing three wickets in the power play, but it might be a bit less likely if he opens the batting when India bat first. I mean, that might be an insane suggestion, but it's one that occurs because you could imagine him today marshalling that side because that's what they needed, basically.
Well, it's an interesting suggestion, but it's an interesting suggestion for a team management that has set plans and executes them well instead of, you know, getting confused all the time. Now, imagine if Virat Kohli keeps himself in this floater position. Of course, Rohit Sharma has to open. So you're saying that Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma opening the innings when India are batting first, that's your two good or two great or two best batsmen at the top. And if India are 10-for-2 and losing both of them, India are mentally gone. You would think India are mentally gone. The other thing is that Virat coming at number four when they are chasing, it brings a fluidity to the batting order. Yes, it brings a certain adaptability to the situation. And I like it. Personally, I think Virat Kohli's best position in T20 cricket is opening. But for some reason, he cannot. And it's an obvious reason he cannot open the innings in international T20s. I would see him open the innings in IPL for RCB. And I think RCB would have a better chance of winning the IPL than they do with him at number three. If he bats an entire season opening the innings, RCB would have a very good chance at least making the knockouts. Anything can happen in the knockouts, but I digress. Coming back to the point, like I said, it is a good idea for a team management which is clear in its thinking. I think, and again, I am willing to give them the benefit of the doubt because it's an experimental phase, but having seen how this team management has functioned over the last 4 or 5 years, it's anything but muddled thinking. You know what? It's just too muddled. It's just too confused. And we are seeing some of the results of that in terms of what's happening in the middle, what's happening at the top. There's just too much experimentation. They don't stick with plans. They just keep on adding layers, different layers to them. And it ultimately, it ends up costing you a World Cup, which it happened in 2019. So I don't think India can afford that. I think they need to stick to one plan. Either he bats at number four both times, whether batting first or second, or he opens with Rohit Sharma both times, neither of which is probably going to happen. There's more chance of him batting number four, batting first or chasing than opening the innings in international T20 cricket. And with that thought, obviously, we haven't talked much about Butler, and you did mention about his attack on Yuzvendra Chahal. Quickly, what do you anticipate for the next two T20s? I had spoken about it before. The one thing that I will say here is that I don't see any of the sides now batting first after winning the toss, because there's a series to win now. There's an absolute series to win. I think the experimentation stops it. I think they'll play their best 11s or best 11s on current form in the next two T20s, especially India will.
Well, India will definitely look to bowl first in the last two games. England might be different if they were to win the next game and go 3-1 up. And were they to win the toss in the fifth game, they may try to challenge themselves. I think that's possible. What I'm hoping to see, what I'm expecting to see, actually, is Moeen Ali coming into England's lineup at some point in those next two games. Whether it's the very next one, I think Owen Morgan really wants a series win. He thinks it's going to be a very important morale boost for his team. He can turn to them and say, look, you've beaten India in their own backyard coming up to the World T20. So that's going to be his primary focus. I think if the entire England team pull up okay over the next 2 days and there isn't any soreness for Archer or Wood, they'll definitely still be in tandem. We'll wait to see. I think there'll inevitably be some changes in the Indian side. But I'm afraid I also think whoever wins the toss is likely to win the game, because, as I said right at the top, these are two very good teams. And when two very good teams go head to head, whichever one has an advantage tends to make use of that advantage.
Well, toss was the one thing that I wanted to finish off with. I really hope toss doesn't spoil this remaining series for us, the last two T20s. But it's like you said, it just seems so right now, because as I mentioned earlier as well, I don't see any of the side batting first after winning the toss in the next two T20s. Maybe in the fifth one, especially if England are able to round it up in the next T20. So if England win the next toss, you never know, they could might as well wrap up the series with a 3-1 lead on Thursday. But let's hope it goes to the decider on Saturday, because that's also the day I'm working for All India Radio. It'll add to the occasion. So. Well, we'll come to you with all our thoughts and reviews after the end of the 4T20. Do join us and keep listening to our Hotspot Daily. Until then, it's me, Chetan Narula, and Daniel Norcross saying goodbye.
Goodbye.